It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully, with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
What's up, family? Welcome to Speak. We have some breaking news in the NBA world. We will get to that momentarily. But first, Far End James Jones. James, how are we feeling?
Man, we feel good, man. What's cracking?
It's all good. It's all good. James, you have stirred up quite a tizzy on social media, big dog.
We should have started with that topic.
Two is right. Joy Taylor. Joy, how are we?
I'm good. James blacked out yesterday.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mad about that.
Respect our craft, man.
So you're personal?
Yeah,
it was personal.
Eagles all-time rushing leader, LeSean Shady McCoy. But I will not delay because of breaking news. The Phoenix Suns have ousted their head coach, Frank Vogel, after just 82 games for one season. Remember, this is a coach who won an NBA title just four seasons ago. And since then, he's been fired twice. Now, the last time we saw the Suns on the basketball court, they were getting swept by the Minnesota Timberwolves. But we now know just how good the T-Wolves are because they are up 2-0 versus the Denver Nuggets. Either way, Suns were one of the most promising teams going into this NBA season. We looked at Bradley Beal, Kevin Durant, Devin Booker, and we all said to ourselves that the Phoenix Suns should compete for a title. They didn't even compete in the first round in the Western Conference. Shady McCoy, what is your reaction to Frank Vogel getting fired?
I feel bad for Frank. Frankie. Because the thing is, like, when you start putting these super teams together, right, and you put this all-star here, this all-star here, you put them all together and say, listen, you got to win with this team. Mm-hmm. And if they don't win, they get fired. So I feel bad for him because as a coach, it takes more than just one year to put something together. Right? You got to have these pieces. I need to see who's my defensive guys, my offensive scorers, my big men, the guys on the bench. You got to put everything together. I think that sometimes we look at us, okay, we don't care nothing about the team. We see superstars, we need results right away.
Yeah.
And as you see, he didn't get it right away. But what he got right away is fire. And I think he's a really, really good coach.
Joy, what you make of it? Frank Vogel fired. What's your reaction?
Yeah, it's unfortunate. I think Frank Vogel is a very good coach. He's a championship coach. We've seen what he did before he came to Los Angeles. And I don't think one year is enough time to put together a team, to put together a culture, which obviously the Suns did not have. They have a new owner. He's very aggressive, obviously. He has high expectations. But you built this team a very specific way. And it's very heavily on the players because you do not have a deep roster because you have Bradley Beal, Devin Booker, and Kevin Durant. We knew that's what this was going to be going into the season. They talked about it. They're going to win through scoring. So if any of those three don't perform at their highest level when it matters most, you're going to lose, particularly when you're going up against a roster like the Minnesota Timberwolves playing at the level that they're playing, and they're not built that same way. They also been built over time. So it requires a little bit of patience. It requires a masterful job at building the rest of the roster if you're going to be this top heavy. I mean, Bradley Beal had his lowest average in the last 7 years, 18.2 points in the postseason. We watched it. Mm-hmm. Like, they did not play at the highest level. Kevin Durant did what he was supposed to do. Everyone else kind of fell short night after night. And they got eliminated. They were the first team out of the playoffs. I think there's a little bit of shame, obviously, in that they got swept. And that feels more dramatic when you have those three stars. But I don't think this is on Frank Vogel. I think they have a lot of work to do with the rest of the roster. And, you know, it's unfortunate because, as Shady said, when you put together these super teams, you really don't want to have any excuses. But there can be reasons why you're not winning as well. And if you do have a super team, it should actually be on the players who are in that super to be super when it matters most. And they weren't.
Yeah, I think super teams have cost coaches a lot more jobs than they've done well for coaches. Think about Steve Nash. Steve Nash thought he had it made when he went to Brooklyn. I got KD.
I did, too.
I got Harden. I got Kyrie. Yeah. Thought he had it made. Out of there. Frank Vogel won a championship. Out of there. These super teams are fool's gold as I look at them. James Jones, what do you make of it? Frank Vogel, he just lasted one season, big dog.
Yeah, I mean, one season definitely ain't enough. A lot of these people, organizations, they want to see immediate
turn around, go win a championship. They had a good coach, too, that took them to the finals, and they fired him. You know, so all this juggling of coaches and all that, I live in Arizona, and they was super juice, Katie and them boys was there, and all I kept saying is, y'all one of the few organizations that ain't got no championship. And this is the reason why. What are y'all doing? Y'all have a good coach. Y'all let him go. He take you to the finals. He got a really good young roster that he had. You traded all those players away for KD, thinking that this super team was going to get it done. You traded most stuff away for Bradley Beal. And now you're sitting in this spot, and it's all on the coach. I watched that series. Booker didn't look too good neither. KD played all right, and we all know Bradley Beal ain't show up yet. So I know we want to blame the coach, but 1 year, at least let him come in the next season and find him a point guard maybe to lead this team. Maybe see how this rotation is going to go with the three superstars. Maybe Bradley Beal comes off of the bench. Who knows? But at least give him another year to see what he can do. One and done. I mean, it's not too many coaches. Like, I feel like the Lakers going to take that Suns team to the championship.
You know, and my thing is like for all these superstar players, right, everybody needs them, right? I don't care who it is. You need them to win. But why they don't get enough, like, blame for this, right? Like, I get you fire Frank, right? I mean, I just don't like it because it's only 1 year. But it's like Bradley Beal, who I thought was a phenomenal player, right, on both sides of the ball. We all talk about offense, but he was solid on defense. He didn't play nowhere near what he used to be. And then even Booker. Booker's a scoring bucket. If you watched that last series, it was nowhere near that. So as much as we want to blame the coach, because how much can the coach really do when my star players? See, I always felt like, as a coach for me, Andy Reid, one of the best of all time, he going to put us in a position to win. But he ain't about to just make a drastic change in the running schemes, right? We got to show you the ball in certain ways. No, he going to get his plays for me to get busy, but he's not going to, like, overdo it. Okay, Patrick Mahomes, great quarterback, right? I mean, you can look at Patrick Mahomes and KD. They both is greats, right? Obviously. But it's like you're not going to overdo it for your star players. I feel like the coach, he's best when he can get the guys – The second tier guys playing well, right? The number three wide receiver, right? That didn't do well for this team, but on my team, he's solid enough. The backup quarterback, our starting quarterback's hurt, but I've coached him so well, I put him in a situation to win where he's going to do all right. That's what the coach is for. But the star dude was like, I need you to be stars. Yeah. That's what you are.
Especially in the playoffs.
Come on.
Put your team in the position to be the best that they can be. Elevate your players. We aren't going to blame for this. And count on your stars to be big when they are supposed to be big. Keep in mind, there was a time when they were in the play-in. They ended up being the sixth seed. Not like the rest of the, like the entirety of the season was a failure. It just got to the postseason and your stars underdelivered, which they did. And you can't move on from your stars and you're not going to. You need talent to win. But I just don't like the lack of patience with building cultures, really. Like when you need to build and establish a culture and an identity, you have a very top heavy team. That takes a little bit of time. It takes some tinkering with the roster. It takes time to build chemistry. I mean, you have a championship-winning coach. It's not that I don't think anyone else can go in there and coach and do a better job, but it just feels very drastic. It feels dramatic. It feels like somebody's head had to roll, so let's fire the person that we can fire because even though we might talk about players under-delivering, what are we going to do about it? Nothing.
You think it's lack of money? I mean, you think it's lack of results for the money? Like, so all these guys, like, we just seen Bill is they owe him
a million.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, like, man, we got to get our money worth. Is that why you think they fire him so fast? Because I'm thinking, like, what's 1 year going to do?
I think it's reactionary. I think it's based off of the expectations that we have because of the money, because of the names, because of the conversation about we're going to go and win a title, who's going to guard us. Once you have all the things
all
out there, the city's excited about it, the fans are disappointing, there's pressure to do something. To me, though, that's when real ownership and front office steps up and says, no, we know what we're doing. And we don't have to lean into what everyone is asking for. Now, I don't know what the players' roles were in this. Maybe they were upset with Vogel, and that's why this ended up being the case. But, again, I think you have to have a balance there. I think the best organizations have a balance of listening to and respecting your top players and then also having a plan.
Yeah. The question for me then is, who do y'all blame? Who do y'all blame?
Because I blame the players.
Which ones?
The superstars, right?
All three?
Yeah. If you just look at the roster rise, right, or star power, I know that we always argue about the rosters. I would take a power three, right? I look at it, if one of these stars goes to Miami, you know where they would be? You know where they would be?
Yeah.
So it's like some people are like, all right, I want maybe a star or two and then a great bench. I want the three superstars because
I'm thinking, if he's off, okay, he got it. Okay, they both off, which is, you know, rare, he got it. Right? Somebody can carry us. Somebody can close the games out. They have them three. They didn't do it. I was surprised because they all was low-key getting locked up.
I guess my question, though, then is, isn't it on the coach to put the players in the best positions to succeed?
Not the stars. And not,
that's what I was saying.
And not those stars. Like, Devin Booker has played in a finals. Mm-hmm. Kevin Durant is over here. Bradley Beal is one of the most respected players in the league. Yeah. So I think it's a coach's job to put everyone in the best place to succeed. But his job really is to put everybody, not these stars, in the best position to succeed.
It's hard for me to digest, though, because even when we saw it, obviously, with Miami, with Spoelstra and whatnot, and putting LeBron and D-Wade in great positions to succeed, we saw it with Kerr. Putting Steph Curry, putting Kevin Durant, putting Klay Thompson in positions to succeed. I do think when you get those stars, sometimes you do try to just relax and say, well, y'all are stars, go get it. But regardless of the sport, I do think a coach has some responsibility to still help his players.
But even with those coaches, it wasn't just 1 year.
Yeah.
Bron and them with Spoelstra, like, it took some time for them boys. Rotation,
how we going to play. They go to the chip.
I know, but I'm just saying, though, like, it takes time to win these things. Same thing with the Warriors. It takes time.
But look how, I think he got fired because of how bad it was.
He got fired
swept. If they didn't get swept, I don't believe he got fired.
No, I think if they don't even win, I think they still get fired. But even that, you brought up a good point with all them coaches and all that. But, like, yo, with the Warriors, with Kevin Durant there, when Kerr, I don't know if y'all remember, he went out. And Luke Walton carried him. Mike Brown. Because we got stars. Now, the role players, right? I get that. The loonies of the world. Yeah, cool. Help him play better. Put him in a better situation to win. I'm cool with that. But my main dudes, I'm putting all the salary cap up for, right, that I'm training my players for, I know what you're going to give me. I watched you do it for all these years. You don't have to get a guy like Kevin Durant motivated. You don't have to put him in the great position to win because that's what he is. He's a baller.
And not only that, these dudes played 20-some games together during the season.
Yeah.
So what you want the coach to do? Like, we can't even get in rhythm. I don't even know how you guys are playing. We played 20-something games. 41 games together. It's 82 of them.
Yeah.
41 games. So how am I supposed to even figure out what my rotation going to be? What's going on? Y'all ain't even playing games together. I blame this on the organization.
Is this still a good job? I don't believe it is. I don't believe it.
With them three?
Yeah, I don't. The reason I don't believe it is because what we have seen of big threes, and I won't tether it to Kevin Durant, but it has just so coincidentally happened to follow him, is those coaches, they come and they go real quick and you do not win much. Remember, the Brooklyn Nets got swept by the Celtics during the Kevin Durant era. And then Kevin Durant has gotten swept by the T-Wolves right now in this era. So if you go coach that team, because of the thought process of Kevin Durant, Bradley Beal, Devin Booker, you are expected to have instantaneous results. I don't think you're going to get instant results. Again, outside of the Golden State Warriors, and I attribute much of their success to Steph Curry, his selflessness, and his ability to also figure out what role he needs to play on the basketball court to allow everybody else to succeed, I attribute a lot of that success to Steph. Do y'all still think the Suns' job is a good job?
It depends on what kind of organization Matt Ishbia wants to run.
Based on the one he's been running.
It depends on what he wants to do moving forward. Do you want to build an organization that is a perennial competitor, that has a roster that can match up with the teams that aren't panicking and firing people, that have built cultures? Mm-hmm. Like, that's who beat you. Timberwolves been building this. They have a roster. They have a system. They have a culture. They have chemistry. And they got stars.
But clearly, he doesn't want to build that kind of culture.
I'm saying.
Because remember, Ayton was out of there.
You've made your adjustments. Like, he's new there.
Should have kept Monty, though.
Yeah.
I'm cool with CP leaving. I'm cool with big boy Ayton. He can leave. I'm cool with that. But I think Monty did a great job because he carried them boys, right? And they went there. They didn't win, but they got there. And I think you build on that. I think if you add in Kevin Durant, you know, eventually when he comes in there, like, I think it would have been a better situation. I just think that it's hard to really get that chemistry. Like, this thing about this one you played, like I always tell, like, in my real estate world, right, I always tell my guys, yo, I don't want to have a, because I like the, you know, your sub and workout, the different things, plumbers, right, drywall and all that. I tell them, I don't want to have a new coach every job.
Yeah.
You know? I want to work with the same guys.
Same
you did my plumbing last project. I want you to do this project. Yeah. You see what I'm saying? Because now I got to learn everything.
And you know what he's going to do.
Yeah, how's he? Dang, KD, I know he's nice, but how's he like the ball? Okay, my point guard. No, I want to know how everything is working. And if you keep changing pieces out, it's going to be hard to gel that chemistry.
If I'm a coach, though, I'm with Shady. If you're saying you're giving me a job opportunity to be an NBA head coach, and I got Booker, KD and Bradley Beal on my roster, give me that job. I'll let all this stuff fall where it may.
But you know what I'm saying? Are you playing 2K, though? Because this ain't 2K.
No, I'm playing real basketball.
You don't win in this league without talent.
Playing Madden.
But if you're talking about longevity, I don't know. That's going to depend on what the organization wants, what they want their brand to be. Are they going to actually build? They don't have a cultural identity. You can't have Monty and then fire him. You can't have Frank for 1 year, bring in these players and fire him. Like, you don't. You not really messing with these other organizations out in the West if that's how you're running the business.
This Suns team, though, isn't currently constructed to be there for the next 5 years. Kevin Durant is an older player. Yeah. Bradley Beal is an older player, has a lot of tread on his tires. Though Devin Booker's not an older player, yo, he's been in the league for a minute. Yeah. 7 coaches in 10 years. So if you are a new coach coming over here, that's like
terrible. seven coaches in 10 years.
So this is not a team that you are going to be building for the next long haul. That's what you were supposed to do with Devin Booker 4 years ago. Though.
Let's say not the long haul, like she's saying. Let's just say 3 years.
KD's going to be, what, 37?
I don't care about that. He ain't slowing down no time soon.
Listen, I can never say that coaching in the NBA or coaching in the, being a head coach in the NBA or the NFL is a bad job. I can't say that. If you're talking about I'm going to move my kids there and buy a house and they're going to graduate from this school, probably not. You might want to keep them where they're at and do the little flying back and forth thing.
You're in.
I mean, they gave him a 5-year, $31 million deal.
He get all that, though.
He's going to get paid. Mm-hmm. He's going to pay to not be there. But it's not about the money. It's about the principle of, it has to be a good job because there are only 30 of these. So, it is a good job from that perspective. If you're talking about longevity, if you're talking about is this a place that I want to go to build up?
Is it a good job? You're saying it's a good job because the job exists.
Yes.
That's what you're saying. So, regardless, so any NBA job is a good job.
Yes.
Okay, then let's add a little more nuance to it, just so it's not a simple yes. Because Frank Vogel, do you believe he regrets taking that job? Because
no.
I would suggest that he does. I think if you win a chip 4 years ago, if he knew he was only going to be in Phoenix for 1 year, I don't know if he would have taken that job.
I don't think he regrets taking the job. I think he went there with the knowledge that he has built a team before, that he's built competitive teams before, that he's won a championship before, and that he's played with high level talent before. I mean, he did coach LeBron James. People are talking about Kevin Durant might be difficult. He did coach LeBron James and they won a championship. So I'm sure he went there with the intent and confidence that they would be able to build that again. The difference is they gave him 1 year to do it.
Yeah.
What can you say?
Yeah, it's no coach that's going to take a job and say we're going to lose, especially when you got this type of talent. You know what I'm saying? It happened the way it happened, but that's why I blame the players and the organization, because there's no way you fire him if Booker or Beal or KD don't have these meetings with up top, in my humble opinion, and basically say, Frank ain't doing this or Frank ain't doing that. Because why would you fire him after 1 year and this man has showed you that I'm capable of winning a championship if you give me time to do this thing? It has to be some of this input from the players and all that. And the players is the ones on the court not making the buckets and not playing the defense and getting swept by the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Yeah, and that's the other part, too. If we felt like Booker, Beal, and KD played at the highest level and they lost. There was just a very obvious lack of communication or nobody else was able to step up at any point and they just look confused or something, then they lost. Okay. But you put yourself out of the play-in into the sixth seed and then your stars do not perform the way that they're supposed to when the entirety of the team is built on those three. Like it is, some of these superstar teams aren't that lopsided. This is those three, and they better get it done every single night. And that's how they won all season long.
And then I look at this also, when I watched the Suns play, I didn't see any really, bonehead moves from Frank, right? There's times where you watch, I won't even get into the different coaches, but small things you doing the challenge, right? Earlier in the fourth quarter, when I need to save that challenge for late in the game. It's going to be a tight game. Small things like that. Or football, Nathaniel Hackett. We've seen a bad coaching job, saving timeouts, doing different things, right? Like putting the ball when you should be going for it. All them small things where I could point at the coach, I didn't see that for the Suns, right? I seen small things Bradley Beal was struggling. I watched them putting him in a corner. Look, bro, I know you're a superstar. You're struggling. We'll put you in the corner, save you a little bit. Hopefully they suffocate the defense, and now you got an open shot. Like, I seen them trying to make this thing work. So that's why I really can't point to Frank, because He didn't show me no bonehead coaching mistakes.
Well, speaking of a team and a player that's got to get going, how about Luka Doncic and the Dallas Mavericks? Is it now or never for Luka? It was a rather embarrassing and abysmal performance game one. But what about game two? Is it the Mavs window or has their window closed? Are we witnessing it closing? That's next on Speak. Don't forget, check us out every day. Fox Sports Center. Serious. Thanks.
Austin Rivers, if you stepped on the football field, homeboy, you wouldn't make it. We know that right now, because you barely made it in the NBA. And I'm just keeping it a buck. Football is not an easy game, dog. That's why a lot of football players, basketball players that stepped on the football field, stepped right back on the basketball court, because it's not an easy game. It's a lot that goes into the NFL.
Family, James Jones wanted smoke, and he got it. Austin Rivers officially just responded, and turn up your volumes for this, or at least open up your eyes wide. He said, I've been just sitting back, listening to chatter, but I can't help myself sometimes. James Jones, the Packer guy, I never heard of you. But listen here, you little meathead, fall back. Talking about, quote, you barely made it in the NBA. Bro, I was a lottery pick who has already played 11 years. You played 8 to 9 seasons in the NFL. Make it make sense. By your own logic, you barely made it. Ooh. You sound salty. Mm. Beat it.
Mm. Beat it.
He said you was a little meathead. Bring us on camera, little people. Bring us on camera. Bring us on camera. Head. Now, look. Can we see all of us, please? Bring us over here, Pritch.
Yeah.
James, I don't take you as one to be punked.
No.
I don't. Shady, I don't. Joy, I don't. I personally don't take James Jones as one to be punked. I've never seen you be called a little meathead.
Meathead.
You know what I'm saying? Nobody's ever called me a little meathead.
Meathead.
Essentially just saying you look like a little Roy.
We don't say that.
That's what
he's saying. That's
what he's saying. Now, James, there's been a lot of beef going on in society right now.
Yeah.
And you can't be on the losing end of it.
No.
So he said you're a little meathead. He said he's never heard of you.
Cool.
He said you sound salty. And he told you to beat it. James Jones, what do you say to Austin Rivers?
And before you say it, and your Kendrick Lamar voice.
Ain't no J. Cole, definitely ain't no Drake.
Lamar voice. All right, homeboy, since I'm a meathead, I'm going to stick with my homeboy, man, because we on TV, all right? I see 11 seasons, 7 different teams, top 10 pick. I see averaging 9 points a game over your career, two rebounds, two assists over your career.
That's it?
Top 10 pick, you know what that sound like
to me? What that sound like?
In the streets, we call you a bust, homeboy.
Oh.
That's what that sound like. Now, if my daddy played in the NBA and I was coming out of the draft, I'd probably be a top 10 pick too, homeboy. But once I get into the league, I ought to handle my business. Now, I led the league in touchdowns. I won a Super Bowl.
He did that in
the highest league. You did none of that. You don't got no all-stars. You got none. Well, you're not going to have that because you got 9 points, 2 assists, ooh, 2 steals in the game. 65% free throws. So I ain't even going to keep on going back and forth with you. All I'm going to say is you 6'4", 200, maybe you should have tried football. Mm. You might have had a better career, homeboy, because basketball was not your career. Career with what I'm reading right here. So I'm going to leave it at that. I don't go back and forth with people on Twitter, man. I ain't even really on that thing like that. Mm. So you got it, my brother.
It went from meet the Graves to meet the Rivers. Kendrick Lamar did it again.
Wow.
That's pretty good.
That's pretty good, homeboy.
Yeah, that's facts, though.
Yeah, I like that.
I know he's 17 in 11 years.
17, 11 years.
Come on, man.
And his dad drafted you?
Come on.
I didn't know that.
I don't mean you that.
Hey, I don't lie. My dad drafted me, though. I'm definitely going lottery.
Come on, man.
Shady, you got any thoughts?
Nah, man. Let's get to Luka.
Nah, he did it.
He did it.
You know what's crazy, though? It's like, I'm cool with him, though. I'm cool with Austin Reeves or Austin Rivers. I'm cool with him.
How do you say his right last name, baby?
I mean, that'd be like James saying to me.
Joy, any thoughts?
I like this type of situation.
Look, he started it. James just said, y'all not like us.
You're not like us, man.
That's all he said.
That's all he said.
And I said, put respect on our game, man. You talking about catch the ball, turn north and south. Boy, Jalen Ramsey, Richard Sherman, Darrell Revis, whoever you want, them boys would have locked you down. Talking about catch the ball, go north and south. Like I said, I'm done. He couldn't make it in our game.
That's pretty good. Make sure we cut that off, clip that off at Austin.
We'll see in round two, though.
We will. That was. Hey, you won that one.
I will say this though. Like, we were just having a very overarching conversation, and it got taken a little too far.
Did it?
No, not by James.
That's athletes, though. We like to do a little bit.
See, what's interesting to me is football players don't do this. It's the other athletes who do this. Like, football players, we don't say we could hop on the track. We don't do that. Other people do it. We don't say we can hop on the basketball court because we know, like, look, we know what we great at. y'all be great at what y'all great at. But for whatever reason, the other athletes just like, yeah, we can just hop into the league. Mm-hmm. Come on now.
Well, he didn't just say that. He said there's 30 that could go play right now, and you just run the ball
and
back and forth.
I don't even like seeing these people's lists of, like, which ones could play in the NFL. Because you don't even know what it takes to play in the NFL.
I did this study in college, right?
Talk to me.
And I was wondering, like, how come the football players don't hang out with the basketball players? And why are they so different? Because they're a little different. I learned what it is.
What is it?
The average hooper is like 6'5", 6'6". If you 6'5" and early, you're like, you tall. So they getting different oxygen up there. That's why they acting different. They breathing a different oxygen. But we breathing that normal oxygen.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
they a little different. You know how they, you know.
That makes sense. That makes sense.
It's all good, though.
What study was that? What class?
Crazy.
I don't remember that one. Okay. I don't remember, but I know I did a lot of studying on it.
You did.
Because it's the logic,
psychology,
right?
It's
logic.
You did a little research.
Yeah. Just think about it. They way up there.
That makes sense. They get the oxygen first, and then we get.
Yeah. Respect the game, homeboy. Mm-hmm.
All right, let's transition to the players playing in the NBA right now. That's Luka Doncic and the Dallas Mavericks. Now, though he's playing, he didn't play well game one. Mavericks, they got beat down. But the question is very simple. How they got the Thunder tonight? Is it now or never for the Mavs? Luka, 1-for-8 on threes, and it hasn't looked pretty. Bringing us on camera, Joy, I was thinking about it. 2-5, I was thinking about it. It's got to be now or never for Luka and the Mavericks. And the reason I was thinking was because, well, the old guard, they moving on. The Lakers, the Suns, the Warriors, I believe that window has closed. The new guard, they coming in, the Thunder and the T-Wolves. So, Mavs, y'all were in that transitional guard along with the Nuggets. Nuggets, they got theirs. But Mavericks, it looks like y'all not going to necessarily get yours, and you're going to get passed up by the Thunder or the T-Wolves before y'all get yours. Lakers, they got theirs. They the old guard now. The Suns, they didn't get theirs. But the Warriors, they got theirs in the last 4 years. Nuggets, they just got theirs. But the Mavericks, I believe, 2-5 are going to be the odd person out. I remember in the early 2000s growing up in Dallas, when the Mavericks lost to the Heat in 2006, I was sick. Mm. I was sitting right behind Alonzo Mourning. Mm. I was sitting next to Lil Wayne. I was sick because I was like, how much longer will we have to wait?
Yeah, good seats.
And though it wasn't had great seats, though it wasn't never, it was a long time later. Next year, Mavericks, I believe they lost to the Golden State Warriors, 1 seed, 8 seed. So just because you are competitive and you're good doesn't mean that window going to be open in perpetuity. I do believe, Shady, it might not be now or never, but it's now and way, way, way later. Where you at?
Where I'm at, I'm still on the part with, what year was this?
2006.
Damn, you was with Lil Wayne and, you've been popping, huh?
Okay.
Now or never, I'm going to say yes, right? I'm going to say right now it has to happen because, like you just said, the Timberwolves, right? I think they're a good team. They're a lot better than what people thought, right? They got the defense. Ant-Man is coming alive. He's in his own. He's arrived, right? Cat's playing the number two, and he's playing a great position at that. And then you look at the Thunder, right? Ooh, he's still a young team. Yeah. But the thing with this right now is they're going to get better. Mm-hmm. They're going to get a lot better. They're a lot younger. Guys get more experience. Guys get more confidence. So you got to get them now because if you don't, then what's going to happen? Kyrie Irving's playing tremendous right now on the court. Mm-hmm. And off the court. There hasn't been no distraction, no issues with Kyrie Irving. Now, I'm not saying that I don't know. I can't even, I don't know. Hopefully it stay like that, but we don't know. His track record show, you know, he might get it. So right now you have everything you need. You got to go out there and win because another thing is like the Nuggets, who we all thought was the best team in basketball, even though they're not showing it, but they on the ropes right now, right? And I'm sure they're going to bounce back next year. So if you don't get it this year, I don't know what you're going to do. The West is open for the taking. Luka.
It is.
You as great as we think you are. Like they say you are. They've been preaching. Go get it.
Go get you one. Where you at, George Taylor?
Guys, they lost one game.
Mm-hmm. They always lose that one, huh?
They always lose game one. Like literally, they always lose game one. It's their thing.
Don't make it
like their brand. Luka's 25 years old. He just turned 25 years old in February. Mm-hmm. He ain't even like an old 25. He just turned 25. LeBron didn't win his first championship till 27. Steph didn't win his first championship till he was 27. Jordan was winning his first championship at 28. Mm-hmm. He's 25 years old. We thought that the Milwaukee Bucks were going to be in the finals every single year, didn't we? Where they at?
Well, I hope they would.
At the crib.
Where they at? No. We all thought, like, oh, it's a wrap. Like, it's the East. Every single year, you got to go through Giannis and the Bucks. The Nuggets are down 0-2 right now. After last year, all season long, we're like, I don't know who. Man, we might as well just chalk it up right now. I don't know who can beat the Nuggets in the West. Who can even get a game off the Nuggets in the West?
I said, I can.
I'm going to take two, in fact. Mm-hmm. So, no. the window's not even kind of closed. This series ain't even over yet. Like, they were supposed to lose that game, and they insist on losing game one. They lost game one on the road. Now, it looked bad, of course. Right. But we don't need to overreact game to game at the beginning of a series and talk about it's now or never. Luka is 25. If Luka was 37, yeah. I might could get with you on that. Like, maybe you want to take advantage of this slight situation. But I don't even know if it is a situation yet. I don't know where they're going to finish this season. And even if they don't end up winning a championship this year, we say this about teams all the time. We said it about the Bucks. We said it about the Nuggets. And I'm not saying the Nuggets aren't going to come back and that they'll never win another championship. But we imagine that these teams will have strangleholds on the finals every single year. And lately, we haven't been seeing that. The Celtics, they were supposed to have 3 or 4 championships by now. Yeah. So I just don't think that we can close windows and get that dramatic about it. Luka is getting a lot of criticism right now, which I don't think is completely undeserved in the postseason. But he is finished 3rd in MVP voting. He increased his scoring, his efficiency, and his defensive on-off splits in each of the last 3 years. He's still a developing player.
Yeah, man, but this team is good. He had a great partner with him. All them dudes you talked about, from LeBron to who else you named?
Steph, Jordan.
Right, I hear all that. But when they had the right pieces and teammates, what did they do?
They got it done.
They went to championship.
They did, but they were older.
What I'm saying is, when they got the right players next to them, superstar next to them, they won. Yeah.
Here's my question, though.
He got it. He got to win.
Here's my question, though, and let's transition to you, James Jones, real quick. I believe, Joy, that the Mavericks are reminiscent of Lob City and the Clippers. Remember, the Clippers were trying to be that fill-in team after the Spurs, right before the Warriors. Mm-hmm. They won 56 games. They fired Vinny Del Negro. They traded the first-round pick for Doc Rivers, speaking of the Rivers family. Doc Rivers was supposed to be the man to take the Clippers over the hump. Mm-hmm. The problem was they missed the old guard and the new guard window because the Clippers never won one. Then the Warriors showed up. So, like, Clippers, you missed your chance in 2014 when you were in the conference semis. Mm-hmm. That's where I feel like, Joy, the Mavericks are, is, like, the window was there. The Lakers are old. The Thunder and the T-Wolves are young. The Nuggets got it done. Your window is right there. That is my fear, is like, bro, you got to win in that transition window, because we keep saying it's about to be Ant's league. Yeah, if it's about to be Ant's league, Luka, where you at?
But my thing is, why do you got to win in that transition and he's 25? Like, just like we think these other teams are younger and going to get better, we got to think the Dallas Mavericks are going to get better. I don't think the owner's just going to sit there and say, all right, let all these teams get better. I'm just going to sit here with what I got. That's why he made the moves that he made on the trade deadline. This dude is 25 years old. He's a superstar in this league.
Yes, sir.
The third best player in the league is what they're saying this year. The third best player, like, he's 25 years young. Mm-hmm. Like, this dude has time to go out here and win. Obviously, each season is different. I feel like this is a good chance for him to at least get to the finals. I'm not even necessarily saying that he's just going to get to the finals and win it. He has a good chance to do that. But 25 years young, he has so much more time. They have so much more time to put players around him and build this roster up to go compete for championships consistently.
So what happens when, because he's about to get the biggest contract of all time, right? Mm-hmm. About like $80 million a year, something like that. That's coming up eventually. Mm-hmm. Then what happens, though? So right now, you got a Kyrie Irving that's under contract. For the next 2-3 years,
really,
right?
Playing really well.
I'm just thinking about, because like we say in the roster thing, like it's cool to talk about, but money comes a big part of it, right? Then you want to add some small little pieces. That's going to cost. Every year that you don't win, the number goes up for everybody.
Yeah.
So right now, while you got guys locked in, while other teams are not fully healthy, not fully winning, like the Nuggets, young teams has not really arrived yet, you should take advantage of that.
But I'm just saying, every team going to deal with that. This Thunder team with all these young superstars, they don't have to deal with that.
If the Boston don't win a championship this year, they're going to break that team up. That's what happens. You got all this. Okay. You've been hearing whistles about it already. Mm. If they don't win, they're going to break it up. You keep hearing, like, trying to put a team together. So now you got all the all-stars together. You got all the role players. They got the defensive players. They got the big men that can shoot. They can stretch the floor. You have everything you need.
I also feel like, and Joy, we just talked about this team, so all it makes right. a lot of sense right here. The Phoenix Suns. Devin Booker was young. Devin Booker still is young.
Yeah.
But the Suns had a window. They were the number one seed 2-3 years in a row.
So they went to the finals. You don't think Book will ever get back? Is that what you're telling me?
I think that Book's best chance is behind
him. That's what I'm saying.
I'm saying we don't know.
We don't know if none of them get
back. But I'm saying it's more. I think it's more. We don't know, as in, like, he might not. Then we don't know, like, he might go.
With the Suns?
Yes, of course. The other thing I'm thinking about is, like, let's add nuance to all of it. When Jordan went, it was kind of like a slow build. It was a Pistons league. It was a Lakers league. It was Jordan's.
He got his team.
You know what I mean? When the Warriors went, it was the Spurs league. It was the Mavericks league. It was the Lakers league. It was the Warriors league. Now, when I'm looking at the Mavericks, it don't look like it's the Mavericks league ascending. It looks like it was the Nuggets league.
It wasn't
league.
Their league until they won.
But I'm saying you saw teams start to fall apart.
They've been to the Western Conference Finals. Luka is third in MVP voting. He's gotten better every single year. He's 25 years old. So, he's 25. 25 is old now?
No. 25 is not old, but I believe his best chance is right so now.
Why? So the Nuggets are still alive.
Yeah.
The Nuggets haven't lost a game at home. Am I wrong? No, they haven't lost a game at home. They have lost one game on the road against a higher seed Oklahoma City Thunder.
At home.
The Nuggets are down 0-2 at home. Mm-hmm. The Nuggets are not going to get swept. Okay, the Nuggets are still alive, right?
Yep.
Are they still active? The Nuggets are been kicked down.
No, they're done.
They are still done.
Okay.
They're done.
Okay, I'm curious. They are still playing in the postseason.
The Nuggets are still active.
The Thunder have not won the series yet. Mm-hmm. Correct.
They have not.
Correct.
Okay. The Timberwolves have not won the series.
Correct.
Yet. Right.
They won.
No, they have not.
That's over.
What I'm saying is, Luka is 25 years old.
Sure.
This is not NFL football. I hear you about the team. I hear you about all this. But he's 25.
So, but hold up. But the teams you see, we can stick to basketball. The teams you named, you talked about MJ, right? When did they start winning?
When he was 28 years old.
When was that, though? When Pippen was ready to roll and he was giving him, he was really a Batman.
Right.
I mean, he was a Robin to Batman. That's when he started winning. Who else you talk about? Steph Curry, yeah. Right? When they got their team together, when they had stars on stars, they started Steve winning.
That was 2 years. What you're talking about is 3 years from Luka's current age. Years from Luka's current age. And we're talking about LeBron and Steph.
What I'm saying is when you have the type of team, right? We have the coach and you have the team to go with you, package. It's hard to get teams. We just watched great teams lose. Yeah. So when you have a team, you should be rolling. That's all I'm saying. Because everybody we talking about, all these great dudes, I want to keep throwing their names out there. When they had the teams and the guys to go with them, they won.
So help me out real quick.
The Spurs, you want to talk about the Spurs? What did they do when they got the teams? They won it.
So they
kept winning.
Let me get a clear understanding of what y'all are trying to say.
I'm here for you.
25-year-old Luka. If he doesn't win a championship this year, you guys are telling me and Joy that he's never going to win one.
I believe that he is hard-pressed to ever win one. I think this is the best opportunity. Again, when Lob City started, Blake Griffin was 25 years old.
But we talking totally different teams, though.
But
right
I'm
now.
Not. But I think we're having different conversations.
Because it's the same thing when Steph and them went down a couple years. We like, Steph ain't never going to get back. Steph went back and won one.
I never said
yes,
that.
Yes, it was a lot of people talking, man. The window's closed for Steph.
They were injured. That's
but still,
one.
Though, he went back and won another one and an MVP.
Let me ask
this dude is 25 years old.
I agree.
All NBA players make a lot of
but
bread.
Can we agree to this? With LeBron out, with Steph Curry out, with KD out, with the 1 and 2
those ain't the best teams.
With
though.
The 1 and 2 seeds being the youngest, most inexperienced Western Conference teams, can't we suggest, and the Nuggets being down 0-2 and losing both of their games at home, can't we suggest this is the Mavericks' best opportunity?
I can't at all because he's 25 years old. I can't say that at all. If he was 37. And he has gone his entire career and he's played his whole career in Dallas and they've done all these different versions. And like, I don't even know if this is a great path. These are really good teams that they have to get through.
They're inexperienced.
Really quick though.
So let's
switch it a little bit.
Why would it be any different next year?
So no, this is all I'm saying. So if Ant don't win, Ant ain't going. If Shea don't win, Shea ain't going. Because these teams are going to get broken up too.
That's where I believe we're being misunderstood. Ant and them are ascending. SGA is ascending. Thunder, they're ascending.
This Dallas Mavericks team ain't playing the best they played since.
I don't believe they're ascending because they were in the Western Conference Finals 2 years back. I don't believe that they are ascending.
I'm talking looking at the team right now, Acho.
So when this
team is playing really good basketball. I don't care you went to the Western Conference Finals. They weren't looking like this right now the way they playing basketball. And he did not have Kyrie to be there to help him. It was really just Luka. This is a better basketball
team. He had Brunson. He had Porzingis.
A young Brunson was Kyrie? That's all I'm saying.
But he helped out a lot.
This I ain't saying he didn't help.
All I'm saying is when you have everything you need to go win a chip and the league is not as hard as it can be at the max, you got to take advantage. That's all I'm saying. At 25 years, he's so good.
Shady?
I don't believe that. I believe that the Timberwolves is going to get better. They're going to get better.
You think the Nuggets going to get worse?
I believe the OKC, they're going to get better.
Because if we sit here and just talked about, okay, so you can't just...
But you brought up money. You're going to have to pay a lot of them dudes.
Why wouldn't the Mavs also get better?
That's all I'm saying.
Because they have what they need right now, the role.
All these teams
but
I don't think so.
Why couldn't they be better in 2 years when he's 27?
Where do you put Kyrie? Because I believe the two players. I think Kyrie
is a great player and he's playing phenomenal right now. What I'm saying to you is Luka is one of the best players in the league.
Yes.
He is... was third in MVP voting this year, right? He's one of the best players in the league. He's still an ascending player. He's not even as good as he will one day be. That's how young he still is. Mm-hmm. He's gotten better every year.
Right.
Why would this be the last chance for him to win a championship?
I'm not saying it's the last chance. I'm just saying that this is, I feel like right now, it's your best chance. It's the most recent.
I have a question.
Right?
If the Nuggets end up coming back and winning the series. Okay, but let's say they do.
Let's say they do. Too well at home, I don't see it.
Let's say they do. Do we still feel this way? Are we only feeling this way because the Nuggets are down 0-2 right now? Because I feel like we only feel this way because the Nuggets are down
0-2. That matters.
But they're not done. Let's say
the top of the food chain team is down. They're on the ropes.
No doubt.
You got a young OKC who we really talked about it. Most people can't sit here and talk about their team like that. They're gonna say one dude.
Yeah.
All right. Let's just keep it on it. Okay. Since we talking now, who else is in there?
T Wolves.
They're a young team that's surprising everybody.
Yeah.
Okay. So what I'm saying right now, the best chance for the Mavs, they have it.
Okay.
Because the opponents are not built up like that, in my opinion. And then Luka being so good, your number two is just as good.
So everything you're saying right now, this ain't the best chance for Joker to go get his second. That's all I'm saying. And if Joker loses, he's never going back. That's all I'm saying. This dude is young. They're going to build around Luka too.
We're going to see, bro. We're going to see. I hate it to be next, he's 25? 3 years, we 28. And y'all saying the same song. So we're going to find out.
We will find out.
It's a lot of greats that don't got no chips, though. No, remember that. There's a lot of them.
It is.
When we return, the Philadelphia Eagles were looking for a chip last year. It didn't go well. But now a player has spoken up as to why the team struggled. Wait till you hear the sound on the other half of break. Players had interesting comments as to why the Eagles fell apart. We got to bring it to you next on Speed.
Hey, everybody, just do your...
With a crease on the run.
Down the sideline, and he's dangerous.
Touchdown. Downfield for Austin.
Just like that, baby.
The top to Butler. He's just too tall. Standing strong.
Boom, what a gift.
Ball charred out.
Oh, it's intercepted.
Floats it. Only one hand necessary. Throws down the seam, and what a catch!
For the win.
He's got it! Chase Bates, the hero again!
UFL action has been jam-packed, family, and we cannot wait for week 7. It kicks off this weekend. We got a special clash as the two conference leaders, they square off Saturday. It is live on Fox, but you already knew that. Battle Hawks, Stallions, but before they do battle, it's time to give y'all some stars to watch. Shady, get a pop.
My star to watch for this game, a guy I'm very, very familiar with, AJ McCarron. I'll tell you what, from the St. Louis Battlehawks. He's a beast. I played with him. I know how good he is. One of my ex-teammates. I mean, I don't lie right now, dog. He is an MVP type player right now. Keep balling. Keep doing your thing, AJ. I'll see you soon, probably in the NFL, the way you playing.
My player to watch is the Stallions quarterback, Adrian Martinez. Now, I hear you, Shady, but he is the leader of his undefeated Stallions team. He doesn't just throw the ball. He's also second in the UFL in rushing yards. He's coming off a four touchdown game against the Showboats. Tink Tink. The Stallions will need a repeat performance as they look for their 7th straight win to start the season.
Ooh, this is going to be a good game. The two quarterbacks, well, we got to go to defense now because somebody got to stop these quarterbacks. Mike Rose, linebacker from the Battle Hawks, big-time player, 2 interceptions. I mean, it ain't nothing this young fella can't do. Tackles for losses. He picking the ball off.
Ooh,
causing fumbles.
big time player. This is going to be a big time game. Husky. Everybody better tune into Fox to watch this one. This is two really good teams about to get at it.
He got a neck roll. You got to be good. Y'all already know this name, Taco Charlton, former first round pick to the Dallas Cowboys in 2017, but now as a part of the Stallions, they have the number one defense as it pertains to sacks and as it pertains to total defense, large part because of Taco, his four sacks tied for sixth in the UFL. He can come off the edge. He knows how to get busy, and he's trying to find his way back. But right now, he is absolutely dominating. What a freaking game we got, UFL. I cannot wait. It's the game of the year. 5-1, St. Louis Battlehawks. They take on the undefeated Stallions. Kicks off 4 Eastern on Fox. From the UFL to the NFL, what is going on in Philly? We saw the struggles, but now we have a little bit of a hint as to why. A player has finally spoke out and took us behind the curtain as to what went wrong in Philly and why things weren't so special last season. That's next on Feet. Eagles started off last season red hot. They were 10-1, but family, down the stretch, it was absolutely atrocious. I don't even remember how many games they lost because I stopped keeping up. We were trying to figure out what in the world went wrong, but Kenny Gainwell, Eagles running back, he let us inside what may have happened. Take a listen.
I think it was a connection piece, you know. I say teams like the Chiefs, bro, are like well connected, you know. Upstairs and downstairs, you know, front office and the locker room, like everybody's connected. When you got that connection piece, bro, everything just click. When you know you got guys that's not talking to each other, then you never know what's going on.
Shady, he said when you got guys not talking to each other, then you never really know what's going on. Now, you and I have both been in that Eagles locker room, one NovaCare Way, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. You obviously walk the halls longer. You're the Eagles' all-time rushing leader. I've been your teammate, so I understand what he's talking about when he says guys not talking, it's not a good thing. His comments something or are they nothing?
They something, right? And a lot of what he's saying, I kind of got from my shady sources. I heard the same thing, right? I heard a lot of it was more on the offense. Mm-hmm. And that's from the coaches and to the players, right? And then not only that, you know, earlier this season, Jalen Hurts said some stuff like that. You don't believe me? Take a listen. Let's talk about it.
I've been talking about execution all year. Been on the same page. Everyone been on the same page. And we didn't execute. I don't think we're committed enough.
Committed. It's words you cannot use, right?
That's what I'm
taught me. In this world I'm living in, you can't say the world's uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. Say uncomfortable, say everything stops. What was going on? Right? I'm uncomfortable because my seat's kind of funny. Yeah. But you say the word uncomfortable, it's like, what's going on? And football, you say the words, everybody's not committed. Hold up, whoa. Release.
Start looking around.
Yeah, so when you say not committed, security. It's like, hold on. Security. We all got a job to do. Coaches, owners, GMs, right? Players. And we all got to be committed. Hey, I'm the quarterback. You the wide receiver. You the lineman. We all have a job to do. And we got to be committed together. And if we can't do that, we can't win. So what Gainwell saying, man, it's some truth to it. Now, I did hear this, though, right? I got to back my boys up. I did hear that. This season, it's going to be a lot different.
A lot different.
The boys, I won't say names, but the boys are back together.
Back together, hanging.
They hanging out again at the games, right? There you go. They in the back playing catch there you down go. Florida. We warmed together. Saquon Barkley came along. Now we're doing practice routes with him. Like, yeah. Things are getting back together there like we used go. To being, like yeah. Eagles.
There so, you go.
I look forward to seeing this back, in the NFC Championship game, you know.
I agree with you, 2-5. Absolutely something. I ain't got shady sources, but I talked to a couple guys on the defensive end, and they literally said the exact same thing. But if you listen to what so many players have said, they've all said the same message. Kobe, the punt returner, he said there was some pointing of fingers from player to player. We were letting outside voices impact our love for the game and the happiness we had. I just read a part of that quote. He said that during the week of the Super Bowl. If y'all listening, the whispers are turning into roars. The Eagles had beef last season within the locker room. They did. Where there's smoke, there's fire. Y'all remember when Jalen Hurts and A.J. Brown got into it on the sideline? We're like, oh, it's not a big deal. Not a big deal. Yeah, where there's smoke, there's fire. I don't think it was a huge deal, but between – and here's the other thing. Backup's going to tell you the truth. Coming from one, backup's going to tell you the truth. Shady got to lie to you. He need to make sure his jersey going to get retired. He got to make sure it's going to get in the stands. Yeah. Shady got to make sure everything good during it. But backups.
Acho don't care, huh?
They going to tell you the truth. Gainwell going to tell you the truth. Punt returner going to tell you the truth. They're telling y'all the truth. Though you don't even got to try to disseminate what information they trying to make. They've told you loud and clear. George Taylor, what you make of it? Something or nothing?
Yeah, it's definitely something. Especially when you're losing. When you're coming off a season that they had the year before, it doesn't look the same. You're winning, but it still kind of looks funny. You got me and Shady up here fighting for our lives. It don't matter how you win. It mattered how they won. As it turns out, we were kind of wrong about that.
Wrong.
It's really hard to win games. It's hard to stay on the same page. Teams have Super Bowl hangovers. When you were dropping off from being first in sacks to 19th, when you're dropping from being the first in passing defense to 31st, when you're having struggles on the offensive side of the ball, a quarterback don't look the same. There were already questions about how good he is. Now we kind of believe, do we believe it? Did they lose too much? It's a lot of questions. I think they were affected, obviously, by outside noise. And that can happen. It's hard to ignore a lot of criticism, especially when you're struggling. You start to believe it. You hear a negative thing, you start to believe it. When you have a good game, but other people are struggling. See, I'm doing my part. Why aren't they doing their part? And things fall apart. So I don't think it's the end of the world. I don't think he's telling a lie. That was his experience. Like, his experiences, they weren't all connected. That's the same communication and rumors and shady sources and quotes that we've heard from the team for the entirety of last year. And obviously, things weren't right. They did not have the same level of success or close to it based off of the expectations that they set for themselves the year before. So I think they'll correct it. I think they'll get back on the same page. I also think Jalen wasn't particularly healthy all season long. I think he'll look better. They've made some additions, and I think they'll get back on the right track. But yeah, when you are losing, when you're not executing the way that you want to, and you got some other personal stuff going on, and then you start pointing fingers, and somebody you hear what so-and-so said about what some... That's how it goes.
Yeah, it's definitely something. You know, like they always say, more money, bring more problems.
Bruh.
You know what I'm saying?
Bruh, I literally got that in my notes.
Big Papa.
We all know losing brings more problems. The littlest thing when you're losing could be the biggest thing. And for me, I think he's trying to cover a little bit something up.
Mm-hmm.
I ain't never really went up to the top consistently inside the building. Every time I walked up in the locker room, man, it's me and the homies. We in the locker room. We handle what we got to handle. So for me, this seems like it was tension in the locker room with players. I don't know what it may be, but that's what it was. When this team went to the Super Bowl and lost, we didn't hear none of this. Even though they were winning, this was a really close football team. We did not hear none of this. Now we're starting to hear this stuff, right? I don't know who it's starting with. I don't know where it's coming from, but this sounds like some locker room stuff. Because one thing that I do know, I don't care what's going up top. If you are a close football team, you are going to be a really good football team.
So you're saying he put the upstairs and the front office in the air?
Not just saying we had certain issues in the locker room.
Oh, but you ain't never hired the coaches, like the head coaches.
Yeah, you go up there, but it ain't.
But it's not tension. He didn't say the coaches though.
Yeah, you may go up there and be like, Coach Mike, man, we like to run this a little bit more. But the tension comes from the locker room.
Yeah, it's a lot of locker room from what I know. But then some of that is the coaching too. Like, hey, look, man. Yo, the plays he calling, I'm not feeling, coach.
Yeah.
I ain't going to get into who's saying that.
Yeah.
And then, look, if you watch the game, you can kind of see that, too, though.
And remember, they said it, though. Remember after the Seahawks game, Nick Sirianni, he went to the podium, and he fell on the sword for Jalen Hurts at the end of the game. He was like, yeah, you know what? That was on me. Then A.J. Brown, he went and he refell on the sword. He said, that's not on Nick. We was doing what we wanted to do. Like, we called our own shot. I just think there's a lot of power dynamics within the Eagles locker room changing. A lot of power dynamics. Jalen Hurts was a second-round pick.
Mm-hmm.
He just waltzes into the locker room. He's happy to be there. Carson Wentz was a starter. Then he ends up being, like, the second-highest-paid quarterback in football.
Mm-hmm.
Now, A.J. Brown, he gets paid right after Smitty gets paid.
Yeah.
But A.J. Brown, you just got paid. Mm-hmm. And Smitty, you just got paid. So now it's a lot of dynamics that nobody, I think, is really talking about. And that stuff matters because it's a lot of big-time players with a lot of big-time egos. And money, it doesn't necessarily change you, but it definitely changes those around you. And it can change you, too. Mm-hmm. I think it's a lot going on in the Eagles' locker room. I do think with Shady, I think they'll figure it out this year. You don't have a choice.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot of adjustments going on that I think it impacted the football field. Well, speaking of figuring it out this year, James Jones, I know you like the Packers.
Yeah, yeah.
But how much should we like the Packers? They won a playoff game last year. But how seriously should we take the team that's probably going to make their quarterback the highest paid in all of football in the next 12 months? That's next on Speak. Wow. Packers coming off a playoff win, and Jordan Love had his team rolling down the stretch. 18 touchdowns, only one interception the last eight games of the season. Green Bay's OC has high hopes for the season, saying, quote, I was going to say we're going to see. Instead, it just says, we can start experimenting faster and take the next steps with the offense. Who's writing this prompter? AJ, you missed a phenomenal opportunity right there. Anyway, James Jones, you played for the Packers. You led the league in receiving touchdowns in the year 2012. Not anything to be taken lightly. You won a Super Bowl. So, James, how seriously should we take these Packers? Take your Packers.
Packer guy.
Packer guy. Very, very serious. We're going to the Super Bowl. We're going to the Super Bowl, man. I don't care who we meet. Patrick Mahomes, whoever we're going to meet.
Where you going?
We're going to the Super Bowl,
like,
man.
The last game.
That's the type roster we got. That's the type quarterback we have. No. On the real, though, this Packers team has gotten better at every level. We got better at linebacker. We got better at safety. We got healthy at corner. We're going to be better at corner. We're going to be really good on the defensive line. Our defense is going to be really good. We have four of our top receivers coming in today's second year. And, Shady, we all know when you come into your second year, the game slows down and you start to become a better player. Who else is coming in today's second year as a starter is our quarterback, one of the best young quarterbacks in the National Football League, with Coach LaFleur. A lot to be excited about. We went into the playoffs last year and won a playoff game. We split with the division winners in the Detroit Lions. This is going to be a tough division, but the Packers have done everything they needed to do in the offseason, and they have the quarterback to compete at the highest level. The Niners was in the Super Bowl last year, Acho, and we know we had them on the ropes, and it's a better football team about to take that green grass this year in Green Bay. Packers going to be a problem. Book it, write it, especially week one.
They might be a problem, James Jones, but they're a problem with a simple solution. I take the Packers as seriously as I took the Jags going into last year, which is not at all an insult.
Why not? Where'd you have the Jags going?
Probably further on in the playoffs. Think about the Jags going into last year. They had won a playoff game. They had a quarterback who was ascending. He had really only had one good year as a starter because his first year
above
was
average.
Thrown off. They had a head coach that was a Super Bowl championship head coach. You have a roster that is ascending because you got young wide receiver talent, Christian Kirk, Calvin Ridley. You got a running back with a lot of promise, Travis Etienne. But what happened to the Jags? They started 8-3. They finished 9-8. What happened to the Jags the year before? They were 9-8. Wait, what record were the Packers last year? I'll ask you, James.
9-8.
Packers won one playoff game last year. Jags won one playoff game last year. Packers took the Niners to the wire.
Yeah.
Jags threatened the Chiefs when the Chiefs went on to win a Super Bowl. So I look at those teams as the exact same team.
How about organization-wise, though? The Jags, the Packers organization is a very consistent organization of winning playoffs, being in big-time games.
James, the Packers won a playoff game for the first time. How long, James? No, again, the Jags went 8-3 last year to start the season, so it's not even an insult. I'm simply saying I am not sold on all 18 of Jordan Love starts, with all due respect.
So you're not a believer in Jordan Love yet?
I have faith, but I'm not a full-fledged. I'm not going to commit my life to the man. Again, Trevor Lawrence
no
had a lot of faith
him,
in
not
him.
A lot of money.
Did you?
Yeah, after last season. Not last season, this past season.
Well, I mean,
after he came back from down, I think it was 28-0, beat Justin Herbert in the playoffs, played well enough against the Chiefs. I love Doug Peterson. So I feel about the Packers how I feel about
them. So with the additions, you saying like same results? Like,
I think the Packers added, win 10.
Win 10, one playoff win? That's what you're saying?
Probably. No. Hopefully.
You're wrong.
Joy, how good do you feel? How seriously should we take the Packers?
I take the Packers very seriously. I'm not ready to say who's going to be in the Super Bowl this year. It's a little early. I'm not going to jump on that yet. But I think they're a team that I take seriously. I think Jordan Love has played well enough for me to have confidence in him. He's still a young player. And there's a lot that can happen throughout the course of the season. But everything we're doing right now is on paper. And on paper, last year, they didn't just win a playoff game. They very convincingly beat down a much better team on the road with high-level talent there. So that playoff win wasn't just some playoff win to me, and how they played in the game after. And I hear you on the Jacksonville comparison, and I don't think that's too far off. I think that the difference is, one, I would tend to lean to the Packers are a more stable organization. I definitely would lean towards that. But I think that it's just going to depend on what happens towards the end of the season. This is going to be a very tough division.
Yes,
again, we're kind of just ignoring the Vikings entirely, which I don't think that they're going to be good, but I do think that could be a mistake. Like, I think that they will steal a couple games from some people and mess up some playoff hopes. And obviously, we don't know what the Chicago Bears are going to be, but they have improved tremendously, and they've just added a generational player in Caleb Williams. A rookie still, but we don't know. So there's a lot that could happen throughout the course of the season. I just take them seriously, as in, I like how they finished last season. Mm-hmm. I think that players get better as they age, as they get more experience. They now have playoff experience. All, you know, trees don't grow to the sky, but I think they're in a great position to be a competitive team this year. And if they improve, then I don't see why not. But I don't see why they can't be playing later into the playoffs.
Well said.
I agree with James, and I agree with Joy. I just think that they are a really, really good team, right? And they're young. The things that they did this year, like, nobody expected that. And I don't even want to use the comparison from the Jags. I think this team is younger, and I see them getting better and better and better. And their quarterback is a lot better than Trevor Lawrence, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. I never was hype on Trevor Lawrence. You already know that about me.
Of course. But based to me, I guess this real conversation is predicated on Jordan Love.
But what I'm saying with Jordan Love is, like, when I watch the Packers, they go as good as he goes. When I watch the Jaguars, I don't feel like that. I feel like ETN is the best player on the team, and they go through him. Knowing Doug Peterson, right? If he had a stud quarterback, he's going to show it. If you really watch the Jags, they go through the running game. And then once that gets going, then Trevor starts playing well. That's just my opinion. Mm-hmm. So when I watched how Jordan Love went all the way to Dallas and beat them like that on the road in the playoffs, you don't think his next year going to be better?
Oh, he's going to be better.
Yo, Matt LaFleur said when he was going to start, he said, listen, I don't think he's going to be Aaron Rodgers in his first year, right? We just want to see what he has. We're just happy to see how it works out. Now he's like, yo, we got one.
We got one.
So I just think they're going to get better. They're going to add more players. If you look at the wide receiver room, it's good, but it's young.
Yeah, very young.
Man, you know how good them kids going to get?
But the question is, we always assume that they will instantly get better. They're sophomore slumps for a reason, number one. Secondarily, to me, when I think about youth and how much success they had, I hope they're not listening to all of us. I hope they're not.
No.
Because what they did do was shocking last year. They went to Dallas, beat them boys down. Jordan Love finished the season on a tear. But again, what also worries me is you're so young and you have so much success, because for them, they really did have a lot of success, that you don't take it as seriously this year as you did last year. They had everything to prove.
But with what they're doing, they show you they're taking it serious. We go get Xavier to go back there in the safety spot, a big-time safety.
No, I like him.
You say, Aaron Jones, you cool, but we want Josh Jacobs.
Mm.
Like, we got so much better in every spot on our football team, and the dudes that was the best players on our football team is a year older. So they are going to be better. This team is going to be a really good football team. Obviously, we're going off of paper right now. We're going off of health.
Yeah,
if this team is healthy and with what they have on paper, it's going to be good luck for a lot
of
teams. They're
going
to be a really good team.
I'm putting paper on them for sure.
Well, it's hard to get better than Nikola Jokic, who just won another MVP award, family. The Joker, is he already a top 10 player all time? 3 MVPs, a finals, and finals MVP. What more do you want from him? Is he already an all-time great?
What next more do you want?
The Joker's done it again. He won MVP, family, for the third time in 4 years. Literally unheard of. Now, he's the 9th player to have at least 3 MVP awards, but I believe only the 3rd to have 3 in 4 years. I see Andy scrambling. He's the 7th to have 3 in 4 years. Thank you off camera, Andy, for that one. Joy, is the Joker already, is he already a top 10 player all time?
Mm. No. But he's around 11, 12, which for a, 78-year history of the league is incredibly prestigious. And I don't think that he's done. I think he's going to win more championships, and I think he will move up into that. And I don't think that that's shade at all. Look, we have to consider the history of the league when we're having these conversations. Otherwise, what's the point of accomplishing anything? So in 20 years, when someone comes in and wins 4 MVPs and a title, we're going to say, oh, Jokic, he was cool, he was all right, but this guy, he's better. He's better because the league is different. The league has changed. Either they matter or they don't. So this is my list. It's the correct list. Mm. And he's around 11 or 12. You know, I think he's at 11. Okay. Nobody see that.
Let me see my dog's list real quick.
Absolutely no one can read this.
Mike,
you make it bigger?
Thank you. Yeah, I don't know. I do not have my I don't have my bifocals on, so I will read it. It's Michael, Kareem, Braun, Steph, Bill Russell, Magic, Larry, Shaq, Wilt, Kobe, and Tim Duncan.
Bill Russell. Okay.
Right. Yes, Bill Russell has 11 NBA titles and 5 NBA MVPs.
Mm. 5 what?
5 MVPs and 11 titles.
I got some for him.
I hope you don't. I truly hope you do not.
I hate doing these lists. I really do. But
my list is right.
Somebody got to come out.
Who coming out? out?
I don't know. that's my take right there. That's my take.
I'll read it. Michael coming out?
No.
Kareem?
No.
Bron?
No.
Steph?
That's the one you got to figure out. That's the only one you can figure out.
Steph has four titles, completely transforms the entirety of the game.
Steph's in there. Steph's in there.
Yeah, okay. Bill Russell.
Heating up. Heating up somewhere.
Magic.
Magic.
Wait, did you say anything about you didn't say anything about Bill?
I did not.
Okay, but keep going.
I'm just saying, like.
Keep in mind, as incredible of a player as Jokic is, he still has one title.
Yes.
The only one on this list, okay, that has one title is nobody.
Your only argument to pull out is Steph. That's the only one.
Why Steph?
Because Steph doesn't have the three MVPs. So at least Joker can beat him there. Because to your point, Steph got four titles.
But Steph has two MVPs and four titles.
Correct. But that's what I'm saying, the only argument. I wouldn't put it. Y'all can throw my list out. Throw my list up there. I think I have all of the exact same names as Joy. I just think I have a different order. And I have Steph at 10. I got Joker at 11. I got Giannis at 12.
Mine isn't necessarily in order. That was just a top 10.
Then we got Joy and I have literally, I believe, the exact same names. I got my names are simply in order. I'm saying Steph is the only argument because at least with Steph, you can say he only got two MVPs. But to Joy's point, he got four titles.
I spy something.
You take it out, Shady.
I think it's number five. What the hell do y'all know about Bill Russell? Let's keep it honest. Who want to go first? You want to go first, Julie? You use happy body. What do you know about Bill Russell, though? Let's keep it real. What do we know about him, though, for real, though? Don't see nothing. What do we know about Bill Russell? What they told us? What do we know about him?
What they told us?
Get him, George.
What do we know about Bill Russell?
Nothing. 11 titles and 5 MVPs doesn't mean anything.
And 8 teams. Yeah, we all going to playoffs.
Okay, well, then
we all going to playoffs.
Let's talk about Steph.
We all going to playoffs.
Would Steph be able to play in any version of the league that had a hand check?
Everybody said that, yes.
He shoot
from the parking lot for one. For two, who going to run around with him all game, though?
He don't have to run around. Who? He just push him on the ground. All day. Every time he goes to shoot, just push him. I don't even like doing that to Steph, but this is why I don't like having these conversations because it completely negates the accomplishments of people that build this league.
All these guys are here, they average big points. They scores, right? They play defense, probably rebound, the big guys score.
Bill didn't do that?
No. You know how much points he averaged a game?
Bill?
13, 15 points? I mean, like... That's cool.
11 titles in 13
bro,
years.
Bro, 8 teams. 8 of them.
But he was the best at the time,
coach. No.
He was the best of his era.
I'm going to say it again, though.
The best of his era.
Did you ever watch him play for real?
I mean,
was that impressive?
It wasn't even a conceived thought.
But they have the little highlights.
And he was the most dominant
of his day. Was that impressive to you?
Shay, but if you're the most dominant
was
in your
day. Was that impressive?
At the time.
Listen. No. I mean, I walked with Will Chamberlain. That was impressive to me, the way he played.
But Bill Russell accomplished way more than Wilt's one.
I hear what you're saying, but when you ask me about the top 10, I need you to put some stats up.
How can you argue for Wilt but not for Bill?
I need you to win, right? And I need to see you be dominant.
How can you argue for Wilt and not for Bill?
Because he averaged 30 points a game, Joy Taylor. That's what he did. A lot of rebounds, too.
This is why I hate this because we have to dog a player that that dominated their era. No, you kind of are because you're making a case for Joker. But I'm with you because I feel like Joker should be in there.
Russell, right? I don't care what nobody tells me, right? I don't live in that world. I watch my own stuff, okay? When I watch the stuff I seen on him, I wasn't like super impressed.
You talking about
Will did average 30 points and 23 rebounds. That's what he did.
Let's cut eight of Bill's
bro,
championships.
Scored 100
right?
points.
Let's
what
cut eight of them
about?
Off. Right.
What?
Eight, let's take eight of Bill's championships away. All right.
Are we taking four teams away too?
No. Let's just take.
There's only eight teams in the league.
What's Jokic's excuse for only having one championship?
I don't know. This is what I do know. I do know he got three chips, right? I got three MVPs. He got one chip, and he's in his prime. He's going to get more.
We're not talking about what he's going to do. More. We're talking about today, on May 9th. I'm not talking about the future. Because I said when we started, Jokic will move up into this list because I believe he will.
So you're saying right now today?
Today, May 9th, 2024. This is the list.
Let's get this straight for a second. I just want to be on the same page here, right? If you had a chance to take Bill Russell or to take Jokic, who are you taking?
Of course you're taking.
What do you mean?
He dominated.
I'll take Kareem before I take Jokic. What are you talking about? Same different eras? Eight teams. Come on, man.
Say, I might.
Eight teams?
Hey, when we return, well, we're going to talk to you about the best moments of the week.
What are you, okay, live? Cool.
Tua Tagovailoa enters a final year of his rookie contract. Reports say negotiations have, quote, begun in earnest. I don't know why they use all these big words. Begun in earnest. Dave, you're a journalist. What's that mean?
This means they're trying hard to do it.
Why don't you say that?
He's trying to get that bag.
Right? Did you say that?
They want husband energy, but they're giving situationship vibes.
Yes.
Dak's like, oh, well, what are we? And they're like, oh,
we're hanging out. We're having a good time.
We're having fun.
I'm your man. I'm your whatever I am. I'm your man. You know what I'm saying?
But really, he should be winning you a Super Bowl for what they did.
See, you do what they doing did. A lot. I ain't cut this
tape. You see the video?
Why did I take this? I said when this trade happened.
Look at this.
I don't know what that is. I don't know.
They put in a flop role in the NBA because you guys are soft.
See, now you guys started.
Austin Rivers, if you stepped on the football field, homeboy, you wouldn't make it because you barely made it in the NBA. And I'm just keeping it a buck.
Drop the mic. Woo.
It was a heck of a week, but the week it really crescendoed today when Austin Rivers called James Jones a meathead. He said he didn't know who he was. He said that James Jones sounds salty. He told James Jones to beat it.
He's an instigator.
He is.
You.
I'm done.
Who?
I'm done.
You.
I'm done with it. I just have to read the problem. Yeah.
The next time somebody come at him on Twitter, can we post this? Because he'll be mad, though.
We would have to do a whole show if you posted every time somebody came at me on Twitter. I'm saying meathead's disrespectful,
no
James.
More response coming from me, man.
I mean,
I still don't even know what
meathead's disrespectful.
No more response.
Like, you clearly Googled, but you ain't feel like you needed to put in led the league in touchdown passes and won a championship. You didn't feel like, because you clearly Googled.
A meathead, James?
Your Google machine works.
You said it's like, it ain't nothing in there, James. And your kids are watching.
Good luck to you.
You said this on your kids' internet.
Good luck to you, Rivers.